It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Now that summer's here, one of the best places to go and explore the great outdoors is a national park. There are so many to explore throughout the United States, however, that time doesn't permit us to cover all of them. However, today and next week, we'll get an overview of parks on the East and West Coasts with Elaine LaBalme, a contributing editor for the eZine Pop City, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town. Elaine, good to see you again.
Great to be back.
Okay, New Girl, we're talking national parks east of the Mississippi. I think many of us focus on Yellowstone and Yosemite when the conversation turns to national parks, but you feel that we've got some worthy candidates in these parts right here.
You know, we absolutely do. And what people need to realize is that they're simply different than these iconic parks in the West. I mean, you think about these great expanses in Yellowstone and in Yosemite and in Rocky Mountain National Park. And the parks in the eastern U.S. tend to be a bit more compact. The topography is different, the terrain, the flora, the fauna. So you just need to sort of reset that expectation and know that you're going to have something different than what you may have experienced in the West or are expecting from a large West Coast park. With that in mind, I think you'll very much enjoy what we have to offer. The parks in the East are, I think, far more diverse than the national parks in the Western U.S. by and large.
So it's not that it doesn't have that take your breath away aspect, but there is natural beauty. There is a serenity that you can kind of appreciate on a different level.
I would agree with that. So again, those great expanses that you think about in the West, you're not likely to have that same experience in the East, but it's a more intimate experience that has its own charms. And you don't hear so much about people visiting the national parks in the Eastern U.S., and I think they really should.
So once again, you've brought a Fab Five list. You're nothing if not consistently prepared. So first up, we have Cuyahoga Valley National Park, which is the only national park in Ohio.
Yes, and it is surprisingly close to Cleveland, which is counterintuitive. Probably just, 30, 40 minutes away.
There's
Cleveland
a joke
national
there somewhere,
park.
But I'm not going there.
Let's not go there, Paul. All right, so again, it's in that general area. And what you've got there is you've got lots of nice forest, rolling hills. It's great, for walking and biking. And one of my favorite things to do in this park is to bike ride along the Towpath Trail, which runs parallel to the Ohio and Erie Canal. And the Ohio and Erie Canal is a 308-mile path. It's a waterway that actually connects Lake Erie to the Ohio River. It's a beautiful trail. And if you take it in sort of a north-south axis, more or less, at the southern end of the park, you're going to run into a place with a huge sign that says Ice Cream Orchard. And we may have talked about this place at one time, because I remember when I first saw it, I thought, how do you have an ice cream orchard? And what's going on there is that it's a family-owned farm with, peach orchards and apple orchards and whatnot. And they make the most amazing homemade ice cream. So what you do at Cuyahoga Valley National Park, if you're me,
leave it to you to go to a national
park
and find
food.
Yeah.
Well, yep, that's who you're talking to here. But you have your long bike ride and then you wind up at the ice cream
You've
stand.
Earned it.
My approach to the national parks. There you go. But yeah, love that. Love Cuyahoga.
Now, next up is Shenandoah National Park in Virginia, which is an easy drive from Washington, D.C.
It is. It's 75 miles south of our nation's capital. It's in the Blue Ridge Mountains. You can do lots of wooded hikes here. They have a number of beautiful waterfalls. It's a great park for birders. And one of the things you're going to want to do there is you're going to take a drive along Skyline Drive, which just will acquaint you with so many beautiful vistas. That said, there are over 500 miles of hiking trails, so it's a great park for hikers. And what a lot of people go to Shenandoah to do is to climb a mountain called Old Rag Mountain. And what you need to know here is that it's an absolutely beautiful hike, but it's also something of a dangerous hike. You have to be prepared. You have to be in really good shape. You have to know what you're getting yourself into. There's lots of bouldering. It's a 9-mile hike with considerable elevation change. You have to allow, a good 7-8 hours, I think, if you're in fairly good shape, and it may take you longer. So while it's sort of the quintessential hike and thing to do in Shenandoah Valley National Park, it's not for everyone. Read up, be prepared if you want to take this on.
And I understand Great Smoky Mountains National Park is also a UNESCO World Heritage Site. That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. And It's actually the most visited national park in the U.S. It straddles, the line between North Carolina and Tennessee. And, you know, you'll see, again, wonderful vistas there, too. You may want to take a car tour through the park at least one day during your visit, because you'll see a lot more by car. It's a fairly sizable park. But you'll also want to bike through Cades Cove. Here we've got something like 800 miles of hiking trails. This time of year is actually a very good time to visit the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, because the wildflowers are in bloom. And I think that the flora there is arguably better than what you might even see in some of the Western national parks this time of year. So that's a good thing to do there. They also have lots of neat buildings, something like 80-100 historic buildings there, everything from log cabins to churches, grist mills. But
what
yes.
makes them historic? Just the...
They're very old. Yeah, they're old. They're also sort of a hallmark of the Southern Appalachian sort of heritage lifestyle. So it brings to bear what those peoples were doing in that park. So that's my understanding of it.
Gives you some insight into cultures of the past.
Exactly. And the UNESCO designation is neat, because it really speaks to a lot of flora and fauna that, according to UNESCO, you can't find in other areas of the world. So there's a great amount of natural bounty in this park that you're unlikely to find elsewhere, including many endangered species. And actually, there are more species of salamanders in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park than almost anywhere else in the world. So if you're a lizard lover, there you go.
Who knew? But this is great, though. This is you're doing a great job of selling these trips.
Well, let me tell you, kids and lizards, they go hand in hand. Yeah. Take your kid to this park.
Don't I know? Elaine LaBaum is joining us. She's a contributing editor for the Easy and Pop City and is our travel correspondent. Let's look at Acadia National Park in Maine. Worth the trek?
Absolutely. And as you say that, this is the only park on the list that I have not yet been to, but it is absolutely at the top of my list. It's a coastal park, so while you can also, hike and, scale these great granite peaks, there are there's beaches there, there's islands, there's camping that you can do. So it's a very diverse landscape. One of the, maybe handful of really good national parks for swimming, boating, tide pooling, things of this nature. Lots of nice scenic drives there. I have heard from many people over the years that this is their favorite national park. And these are folks who have traveled to the Western national parks as well. So there's something really special about it. I look forward to exploring it. Don't know if I'm going to get there this summer, but hopefully by next summer.
Last but not least, we have Everglades National Park in Florida. Uh-oh, I see gators.
And you should, and you probably will. And there's also actually, they do a lot there to take care of endangered species. And what rises to the top of the list is manatees, American crocodiles, kiss and cousin of the gator.
Yeah,
sorta.
Now the manatees are a friend of man. They are very friendly creatures, the manatees.
I don't know a whole lot about them. I will say my father-in-law is a big fan of manatees. He's in Western Florida, but yeah, they seem very likable. I've actually seen them, right near the docks behind.
I can speak from personal experience. You can go right up to them and you can touch them, and they're pretty cool.
But you're not going to try that with a crocodile or a gator.
No, ma'am.
There you
no.
go. Good move. Uh-uh. But so you will find these species there. It's actually one of the few places in Florida that you'll also find the Florida panther. No hockey jokes here, please. But the Florida panther, which is really this very small, sweet, sleek cat, and very endangered, but you will find them in the Everglades. Now, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, she's talking about the Everglades. Summer is here. Hot, humid bugs. You're right. You're going to find all of that in the Everglades. So you need to be prepared for it. You still get to do those really fun sort of iconic airboat rides. And if there is a park where you want to engage rangers and do a ranger-led tour, it is this one. Because it's such a unique landscape, and there is so much to learn in that park that you're not really going to get it all yourself unless you have someone guiding you, leading the way. So it is a park where I very much encourage going to the website, seeing what the ranger-led programs are, which are considerable in the park. It's a large park, 1.5 million acres. And the park is now only 25% of the original acreage of the Florida Everglades. Luckily, the National Park System stepped in and protected this swath of land, so it will remain. But the park used to be much, much larger, many years ago, probably decades ago. But it's one that should not be overlooked. And if you really hate flying bugs, well, get there real soon before it gets really hot and humid.
Elaine, this has been absolutely an eye-opening segment.
Well, there you go.
Elaine LaBalme is a contributing editor for the eZine Pop City. She tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, and she is our travel correspondent. Elaine, as always, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. We welcome your comments and story ideas at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. I'm Paul Guggenheim. Thanks for listening.